All right, this is Sarah Doverspike here with the Asheville FM News Team. And here in the studio, I have Angie Cathcart, and she is the president of the Asheville City Association of Educators. And she has been an educator for 29 years, she was telling me earlier. And school just got out for the season. So she's using some of her precious and valuable time to be in studio with us today. So thank you so much, Angie, for being here.
Oh, you're welcome.
So please tell me a little bit about the ACAE. What is your mission?
So we are an affiliate of the North Carolina Association of Educators, who is an affiliate of the National Education Association. So we're really three organizations. And so Asheville City Association is the local unit of those two larger associations.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do here? What do you do in the community?
Well, we are a member-driven organization. So teachers and any employee, educator, anyone that works in a school can be a member. And so we represent members across a variety of issues that come up in our district. And those members are also, of course, members of the North Carolina Association and the National Education Association. Mm-hmm. So we also, we do, all of our activities are related to supporting teachers in the classroom.
Awesome.
And supporting other employees in their roles in our school.
Mm-hmm.
So we could have bus drivers who are members, and if they need support, we provide support to them. And then that support can take various forms.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, I know that you just had, speaking of support, you just had a postcard party, and that took place on May 20th. Tell me more about that and how you are supporting the community and what you're doing, what your initiatives are.
So on May 20th, that postcard party was an extension of the work that we began even prior to May 1st. But on May 1st, our association and every other association in the state organized a march and rally in Raleigh, and any teacher, not just members, we supported getting them there. Like, our association took two charter buses to Raleigh with full of teachers and educators and supporters. So on May 20th, we had postcards created so that members and teachers could write messages to our local representatives, who are very supportive of our goals.
Mm-hmm.
And the issues that we would like to see, or rather the items that we would like to see included in this year's budget.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very positive, because we have very supportive local representatives.
Awesome.
But we also wrote to some other key representatives in the House and the Senate who are making these budget decisions, and letting them know again what our five priorities are.
Tell me more about these priorities. What are you all pushing for right now? What's most important to you?
So I'll give you a little background. In March of every year, our state association has a representative assembly, and we come together over 400 members across the state will come together, and we decide what our organization will be.
Mm.
And so at that conference, or convention rather, we voted on these five priorities. These are not the only priorities that our association are concerned with,
mm-hmm.
but we wanted to narrow it down and keep our message clear.
Absolutely.
And then we voted again at that same time to bring those issues to Raleigh on May 1st. So the five issues, or the five things that we'd like to see our legislators address in the budget, is to provide a $15 minimum wage for all school personnel and a 5% raise for all non-certified staff, teachers, admins, just across the board, and a 5% cost of living adjustment for retirees. The $15 minimum wage for all school employees would simply just give school employees what they gave all state employees that are hourly last year.
Mm-hmm.
So state employees are now they were given a bump up to $15 an hour minimum, but they excluded school personnel. So we felt it would just be fair, and this would be an easy thing for them to agree on.
Absolutely.
And so that was a message that we carried to Raleigh.
Mm-hmm.
And in both the House and the Senate budget proposals, that was not addressed at all. Proposed like a 1% increase or a one-time bonus, which is not the same as setting the bar.
Absolutely.
So
setting a standard livable
exactly,
wage. Yeah.
Right. So we have one example on this particular issue. We have one teaching assistant who's worked in our district for 26 years who still makes below $15 an hour.
Mm.
And it's very difficult for her to live on that. But she is a passionate, dedicated, wonderful asset to our school district.
Absolutely. And it takes a community to run a school. I mean,
yes.
and to educate our kids the best that we can.
So that's our contribution to the community. We're advocating for the things that will improve the schools in our community. Mm. The second one, if you don't mind me going on.
Please.
Provide enough support personnel, and that means people like librarians, psychologists, social workers, nurses, counselors, and behavioral specialists to meet national standards. And there are national standards about the ratio of those particular positions to the number of students that they should serve.
Mm-hmm.
So if your ratio should be 1 to 700 students and your ratio is actually more like 1 to 1400 students, there's a real issue there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to provide children with the support that they need. And teachers in the classroom can't always do all of that.
Absolutely.
And they're not trained to do that when they're in their preparation programs in our university system.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important that to us as teachers that we get that support so that we can really focus in on what we are really highly trained to do, which is educate students, you know, in content.
And, yes.
And we will address needs, but really extreme needs, the kind of trauma that some of our students come to us with, we need additional support.
Mm-hmm.
So we were asking for that, and neither House nor Senate put any money toward that in their initial proposals.
Mm.
We also asked for them to expand Medicaid. I know a lot of people, I know it's a very popular thing, just like at least I've heard in the state, people are supportive of expanding Medicaid. And we felt when we voted on this particular one, as educators, it's important that our students have health care.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of students can get health care in other ways, but if their parents don't have health care and they encounter a medical issue that drains the resources for the family, that
mm-hmm.
really impacts our students.
Yes.
So we felt it was kind of a no-brainer that if you want to really help support schools, you should just go ahead and expand Medicaid and cover those individuals who are left out.
Mm-hmm. That's like if you support families, then you're also supporting schools.
Exactly.
You're getting to a helping like a root cause of
an
issue. Absolutely.
It's kind of a tertiary kind of thing because people are like, well, how many students need health care? But it's not just the number of students. It's also how the family is affected if a major medical issue
mm-hmm.
impacts their financial situation.
Right.
So. We were hoping that would be addressed, but it is not in either proposal. We also asked them to reinstate retiree health benefits eliminated in 2017. So what that means is that any teacher who will begin teaching in 2021, as part of their retirement package, they will not receive health benefits, whereas right now we do.
Mm.
So when I retire, when I finally figure out when I'm going to retire, I will have health benefits available to me. Anyone starting in 2020 will not. This is a huge concern for us because then we wonder who is going to be attracted to teaching in North Carolina
mm-hmm.
with low wages, like, you know, we have one of the lowest average teacher wages in the country. And if you start chipping away at our at benefits that make this job attractive, it's going to be very difficult to retain teachers. It's going to be very mm-hmm. difficult to attract teachers. And we're already seeing large numbers of or high percentages of students who are, or I guess not, that's, I'm not saying it correct, lower numbers of students entering programs, teacher preparation programs,
mm-hmm.
dramatically lower. So we're going to have a major teacher shortage. And then the last one was to restore advanced degree compensation, and that's in particularly for master's pay.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone who enters teaching in North Carolina now, if they have their master's degree or they go and earn their master's degree, they do not get an additional compensation for that. For example, I have my master's degree, so I'm grandfathered in, and I receive 10% more because I have a higher degree.
Mm-hmm.
But those folks who don't, or those teachers who don't have that 10%, that's, we feel like that's just not a fair thing to do. They deserve that 10%.
Mm-hmm.
So they took that away, and we were asking for that to be restored. The House budget proposal did include restoring master level pay or advanced degree pay,
mm-hmm.
But the Senate proposal did not. So of the five things that we asked, only one was addressed in one of those two houses.
Ugh.
Now, the governor's budget proposal addresses all of them
mm.
because he understands the importance of restoring the resources that we've lost over the past 10
mm-hmm.
years, and he understands the importance of education in our state, and we really have lost a lot. Now, we have multiple priorities, but again, we really wanted to focus in on the ones that we felt needed to come immediately and as soon as possible to improve conditions in our schools.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I, as a former teacher, I really appreciate you, you know, being very politically active here. I think that that's important, not only to support our schools, but to support, you know, the students that we're teaching in our communities. And in doing that, you know, we have to be helping teachers. And supporting mm-hmm. teachers because they're on the front lines doing this job.
Yeah, I've been teaching again for 29 years. So I was a teacher during a time when North Carolina was very well, I guess the reputation was really high across the country because we had a very strong reputation for being progressive in what we were doing in terms of education funding and supporting teaching and learning in our schools. And that has really dropped off.
Mm.
Like, we're not seen that way at all anymore. And it hurts a little.
Yeah.
I have a sign that I took to Raleigh several years ago that says, I used to be proud to teach in North Carolina.
Mm.
And that's
powerful.
Very difficult to say that anymore.
Yeah. So you talked a lot about these really awesome initiatives that you all are fighting for. How can we get involved? I mean, we talked about the postcard party
mm-hmm.
and writing our representatives and the importance of that. How can we, you know, how can the community support you? How can our listeners get involved?
You know, I think the Asheville community and Buncombe County community in general are very supportive, although I can say I felt disappointed that our Buncombe County schools, because they're our sister district, because they have their association as well,
mm-hmm.
and their board didn't vote to dismiss school on May 1st, so allowing teachers to be able to go to Raleigh
mm.
and make a strong statement. Because when we're in Raleigh, not only are you making a statement and trying to talk to your own representatives, but when we were there, we were also supportive of other districts who had representatives who may not have been as supportive of these five initiatives
mm-hmm.
or these five items that we wanted to see taken care of in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
So we were rallying the troops at that time, circling the wagons to
mm-hmm.
help other districts.
Awesome.
So it was a little disappointing. So I will say that. I don't know if we should keep that in this, but in general, the community just understanding that teacher voice is important, and understanding that a teacher will tell you the context around whatever somebody else might be saying. The narrative from some representatives, again, not our local ones because I think they're really great, but other representatives in the General Assembly will say things that are really not accurate. Like, they will brag about giving huge raises, and there are teachers who receive some really nice bumps, but I haven't received a nice bump.
Well,
I haven't
you've been teaching for 29 years, right. As you said. Yeah.
Yes. I, in the past 10 to 8 years, you know, maybe 3%, whereas other people were given 16% raises. But
oh, wow.
they will brag that the average increase in pay has gone up so many percentages, but that doesn't cover everyone.
Yeah.
And so we're, you know, people like me are frustrated. And that also is divisive.
Rightfully so, yeah.
You know? So
you don't want to pit people against each other
right,
in the same system.
Right. So if you're in the community and you're struggling trying to understand whether or not what someone is saying is accurate, you could ask a teacher. We'll tell you what's going on.
Yeah. You said something to me earlier, teachers know what the community needs. I think that is a very powerful statement.
And that's something that I've been really, really working hard this year to address is teacher voice, and teacher voice in the community, teacher voice in our district, teacher voice in our state. So our association is very strong in being able to address that. Teacher voice is extremely critical. It's a huge part of what makes our schools really, really good. I mean, and to do what we constitutionally, everyone, you know, our government is supposed to do is to provide a free education to all students.
That's
a quality education to all students.
Absolutely. Well, Angie, thank you so much for being here and talking to us about what your initiatives are and what you're doing in the community. I think is really powerful, and this is a great reminder to listen to our teachers.
Oh, thank you.
Is there anything else that you want to add before we sign off here?
I don't think so. If I don't know if anyone needs to know how to contact me, but I
want
that to actually be in the on the air. But
sure. How can how can we find you? How can we find the Asheville City Association of Educators?
Well, we don't really have a formal website per se, but because we do a lot of social media, so we do have a Facebook page and a Twitter feed. So it's ACAE Unite on both Facebook and the Twitter. And so I can accept messages through those two social media platforms.
Awesome. And I found out about the postcard party on Facebook. So
yeah.
The system works.
It's an open page, so anyone can like us and follow what we put there, and we appreciate the community support, really do.
Awesome. Well, the community appreciates you, so
thank you.
Again, that was Angie Cathcart of the Asheville City Association of Educators. Thank you so much.